Hi, I'm Andy Reid.
And I'm Mike Porter.
You're listening to Catskill Cabin Conversations, which is aired on the third Wednesday of each month from 2 until 3 p.m. on WGXC 90.7 FM.
On each show, invited guests will be asked to discuss a number of items that they intend taking with them on their Catskill Cabin getaway. As we discuss their chosen items, it is hoped that you, the listener, will enjoy getting to know that person a little bit better.
Today's guest is Christian Griffin. Christian is the youngest of five kids and was born and raised in Fairbanks, Alaska, where he lived an adventurous life. Christian achieved Eagle status in the Boy Scouts, which is the highest award available. Until he bought his first car, he travelled by bike and snow machine. Having been a water well driller, Christian soon left this position and Alaska in search of adventure and warmer climes. Bitten by the travel and adventure bug, Christian visited Texas, where he stayed for a summer, and Utah, where he stayed for 3 years. While there, Christian attended cosmetology school and qualified as a barber. A few years after arriving in Utah, Christian was off again. This time the destination was New York, where he spent a summer of travel and adventure with his brother. When his brother was offered a new job in San Antonio, Texas, both of them simply purchased an old van, packed up, and started a new chapter in their lives. After 2 years of cutting hair in Texas, Christian and his brother moved back to New York, this time hiring a nicer moving truck. Christian worked at a barbershop in Wappingers Falls and part-time as a barista in a local coffee house. Pretty soon, Christian realized that cutting hair was not for him. He found that he enjoyed making quality coffees for people instead. As a result, he threw away the scissors and became a full-time barista, which he loves. Christian can be found making an array of wonderful coffee drinks at Poughkeepsie's Crafted Cup Coffee House on Raymond Avenue, where he currently works. Christian, welcome to the show.
Hello, hey guys, thanks for having me.
Thanks for coming on.
Yeah, it's good to see you, mate. So, Alaska.
Yeah, the last frontier.
I've only ever seen Alaska on the television. Hold on, I take my glasses off, I can't see anything.
Yeah, it's a little bigger than on the 40-inch screen, but it's a good spot.
Yeah, I mean, when I see Alaska in television, it's the wilderness, as you say, the last frontier, and basically, what you see, what we get to see is salmon fishing, crab fishing, guys living in the woods with nothing but sticks and, you know, knives and stuff like that, and guys panning for gold. Is it like that?
You know, that's a very commercial version of it. There's a lot of that, but where I grew up in Fairbanks, I mean, it's just a town. I've seen, of the places I've lived, I've seen a lot of the same types of people, and industry is a little different, you know, in Alaska. There's a lot more manual labor, but it's just a town.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Do you miss it?
Yeah, you know, it's home. That's where I grew up. Yeah.
Did you play any sports in high school?
Not so much. I was more in the music. I was in orchestra. I played bass throughout elementary, junior high, and high school.
Nice. I asked my football coach in high school, taught phys ed up in Alaska for years, and he said that the schools were so far apart that they would have to take a plane to neighboring schools. They would fly the football team just for a football game.
Yeah, a lot of teams like that. A town in the far north called Barrow, they had there's a big fundraiser put up so they could have a turf field put in because theirs was so full of like holes, and you know, the tundra up there is just not good. So they did a big, I believe it was Sports Illustrated, did a big spread on their thing, and that's a team that would have to fly all their sports teams to other schools.
Are the teams flying with the cheerleaders and a lot of antics going on in the plane?
I mean, that's probably half of the school for some of those towns, so yeah.
You know, it's when you think about it, you know, you see in, you know, parts of the country where they're building these $10 million stadiums to host their football teams and stuff like that. And this is college. And then, you know, you go up the road to, I say up the road, to Alaska, and they can't even fly each other. They have to raise money to fly teams to, you know, it's...
Yeah, compete.
It's you know, the oxymorons of the... of America, you know. But that's interesting. So you're an Eagle Scout then?
I'm an Eagle Scout, yep. Once a scout, always a scout.
Cool.
So what's an Eagle Scout? I don't know what that is.
It's the highest rank. Eagle is just you've achieved the required number of merit badges and also have completed an Eagle project, which is on a basic level, it's showing your leadership skills. You present a project to the council, and they either approve or not whether it is something that can show your leadership skills and your ability to manage people and such.
And so what did you do for yours?
I lucked out.
You bought your badge on eBay?
Yeah, no, I know a guy.
This was so easy.
No, I had a bridge. I built a small footbridge at a botanical gardens at the university.
Oh. Awesome.
It was two-day project. Wasn't too bad. It was hard not being able to work very much. Like, your job is to tell people, kind of manage people. And so I had been used to being hands-on and doing a lot. And, you know, I was able to do stuff, but a lot of it was being able to manage people and multitask and
right,
sure,
do that.
So did you find it easy disciplining people and saying, you, get your finger out?
You know, funny thing, I brought my megaphone with me, so, you know, I kept everybody in line pretty well.
Cool.
Yeah.
That was. Do you ever go backpacking or camping anymore?
You know, I last August I went camping out near the Pennsylvania border, right on the Delaware River. It was a campsite, but I got my own tent, mm-hmm. you know, my own little setup, and I haven't had much opportunity, but...
Campsite.
Yeah. I mean, I had a tent, so it was kind of camping, but, you know, I haven't had the opportunity to do that out here. But I've definitely built a lot of campfires and... showed off some skills. And
did you use your cotton wool and your
my
petroleum jelly cotton buds to keep the fire going?
No, I did build a fire with a magnesium rod, like flint and steel.
Oh,
just
yeah.
To show off.
Yeah. Nice.
But it takes a long time because you just got to sit and scrape.
Yeah, all those shavings. Yeah. But yeah. Once you get it with a spark, right, it's like 3,000 degrees. And
yeah, just...
Yeah.
That's cool.
And then you look like a, you know, BA. Everybody's like, whoa, yeah. This guy...
Some sort of
just so happens you're only there yourself.
Exactly.
Like, you're like, if anybody had been here, I would have looked like a BA.
Right? Like, gosh,
but I'm not.
Crowd?
I'm on my own.
The little woodland creatures have gathered around and they golf clap. They're like, oh, brilliant. Well done. Well done, sir. Brilliant.
Yes.
The technique is amazing.
The local woodland creatures.
Now, man of my own heart, you love coffee. You're a barista.
Yes.
So, how passionate about coffee are you?
Ooh, well, I'm fairly passionate. I don't want to say that I am exceedingly passionate because I just got served a little today on knowledge of how beans react with just like your grinder and this and that. So I'm still fairly a novice in the field, but I enjoy learning about different things within the coffee world.
Well, I have to say, I obviously know you because I frequent your establishment, Crafted Cup. Well, not yours, but yeah. The one you work in. And I have to say, you make a tremendous cup of coffee, sir.
Hey, thank you. Yeah, you know, I take great pride in creating, or not creating, but, you know, giving people quality product.
At the risk of ostracizing any of your co-workers, I do know the difference when you make a coffee than somebody else making coffees.
Nice. Hey, you know, so. I might be doing it wrong.
Yeah, it's got that kind of burnt overtone.
Yeah, exactly.
Now, let's move on. We obviously get things to talk about in the show, so how about we move on and we go into the first song. The first song is that you've chosen to take with you in your Catskill Cabin getaway is Sir Duke by Stevie Wonder.
Yes.
Now, what is it about that song that you...
This song...
Why'd you bring it?
Oh, this is one of my most favorite songs. I bought this record about a year ago, and I'd heard the song growing up, didn't really know much about it, but when I listened to the record, I stopped and played the song over and over and over again. It explains what music is, and it you get all the feels with it. Like, just music in its...
Well, it's funny you should say that because, you know, I was reading a quote to myself today, and it was made in 2005 by Kanye West, reflecting on his own success. He said simply, I'm not trying to compete with what's out there now. I'm really trying to compete with inner visions and songs in the key of life. It sounds musically master. I can't read that because I'm a blasphemous to say something like that, but why not set the bar high, says Kanye West. So that kind of sums up what you're saying there is, you know, Stevie Wonder is an iconic master songwriter and performer.
Definitely.
And you know, yeah. he's a fantastic, you know, he was signed by Motown when he was 11.
Wow, I didn't know that.
And, you know, the guy was a child prodigy. And a lot of people think he was born blind. He was born prematurely, and shortly after being born, he lost his sight. But one of the things I found out is, in the 70s, I think it was the 70s, he actually was in a car crash, and he subsequently lost his ability to taste food.
Oh man.
And smell. So he truly is a man who uses his ears, and his ears are his way of, you know, functioning in that respect. So the guy really, the guy's won 30 Grammys. He's you know, the guy's phenomenal. So Sir Duke, Stevie Wonder.
Start to move. They can feel it all.
was Stevie Wonder, Sir Duke. What a phenomenal artist that man is. There's not very many people that can surpass this man's ability and creative talent. Such a phenomenon. Guy sold over 100 million albums and singles in his lifetime.
Wow.
That is phenomenal. Not only that, in 2009, he was named the United Nations Messenger of Peace.
Nice.
So he's not just all about music. He's a really, really nice guy as well.
Yeah.
So there you are. Shall we move on?
Yes.
All right. So your next item, Christian.
Yes.
Is a silver dollar.
Silver dollar.
So, have you got it on you?
No, actually, I just was checking my mind.
You know, like,
I know, I usually do.
So, no, because the reason I'm asking you if you got it on you, because I wanted to know if you had it, because I wanted to check to see if it was a 1804 coin. Is it?
It's a 1921 Morgan silver dollar.
And is that a significant coin or a significant year? Or?
You know what? It's not. It was just, I got it on a very random time. A woman paid for groceries with a bunch of silver dollars, and that's the one I held on to.
Now, you know, when I was looking up silver dollars, and did you know there's a silver dollar theme park?
I didn't.
There's a silver dollar theme park, and it's Silver Dollar City, and it's in Missouri. Opened in 1960 or something like that. But anyway, that's by the by. What I was going to say is, you know, I was looking up silver dollars, and apparently the 1804 dollar, which wasn't made in 1804, they didn't make any. This is what makes it really, really rare and expensive, is because in 1804 there was no dollars made. They had a huge surplus, apparently, of 1803 dollars, which they used in 1804. So there wasn't any. Actually, the first 1804. Dollar was made in something like 1857.
Wow.
Oh.
To kind of backdate it, sort of thing. So they're very, very rare. In fact, one of them sold for something like $4 million.
Oh. Wow.
So I was just dying for you to bring your, and then just say to you, oh, it's an 1804. Oh, they're worthless, mate. And then just take it off you and just keep it.
Yeah,
just,
I wouldn't make it out of the cabin.
And just retire. So what is it?
Some money recently.
So what is it about this dollar then?
You know, it's, if you ever just heard, you know, flip a coin. You got a tough decision, flip a coin. You know, it's silly to put, you know, big choices on fate, but I see it as, if I have to make this choice, regardless of what the outcome is, I will know in my gut what it is. So say I have this decision. I say heads, it's this. Tails, it's that. I say heads, and it hits tails. I'll know in my gut either it'll feel good or it'll be like, ah, dang, I wish it was the other one.
Right. So you know, basically go with what the coin flip is. You will go with your reaction to the coin flip.
Yeah, because if...
Right.
It helps kind of shake good. Everything else loose.
Nice. Boy, that's something.
So, and you got the coin from a woman?
Yeah, a woman said that, you know, oh, they're fine. They're just dollars. And I was looking at them, and I was like, yeah, okay, I'll take these, no problem. Yeah. She paid about $7 of $10 of groceries in it. So I gave them to coworkers and bought them out of my till. And actually, to this day, when people pay in silver dollars or half coins, I buy them out of the till and I give them to friends and tell them that about, you know, making life choices on
that's the... That's a good... You know,
cool.
Do you know what I found really interesting? When I was reading up on silver dollars, I actually stumbled across this article, and it was a guy who was buying a car, and he told this guy he was buying a car, and he was... It was like a tax dodge or something. He was wanting to pay for the car something like $1,500 in quarters before 1964 or something.
Oh, that's when they had the highest silver content.
And the highest silver content, right?
Yeah.
So each dollar in today's money is worth something like $6.
Nice.
So he paid for this car in $1,500, or he took the money and basically the silver coin value of these coins was something like $25,000. But he purchased, or he took the coins off the guy for the car, and the guy got his car, and he got $25,000 for a 1,500 car, something like that. Anyway, but the story was about the coins, the silver content.
Yeah, actually, I read an article about a guy who did something similar with half dollars. He would go to the bank and get. He started with like $50 and half dollars, and the older ones you can see by the band when you look at the coin by the side, the silver content. So he'd collect older ones, and then he would trade them in for their silver value. And he ended up making, you know, tens of thousands of dollars doing that. And the Fed got really upset with him. It's not illegal. It's just a loophole of the system. Yeah. So that's why they try to get him out of circulation.
The government don't like loopholes.
It reminds me of the time Kramer bought the calzone with all the change. Then they kicked him out of the pizza and they cooked his clothes. That was a great one.
I need to catch up on my Seinfeld. Yeah.
Oh, it's great.
Mike loves Seinfeld.
I just watched one this evening, as a matter of fact. It was excellent.
Which one?
It was the one where they have that buddy played by James Spader, who is a recovering alcoholic, and he's on step 9, and George wants him to apologize for picking on George about, you know, about stretching out the neck hole on a sweater, because George has a big neck and head. And George is like, I demand an apology for that time. You wouldn't lend me your sweater because you picked on me, and everybody laughed. And he's like, everyone's bebopping and scotting, and I'm... It was great. Sorry.
I'm actually watching a TV show with James Spader right now.
Is that The Blacklist?
Yeah.
Is it good?
It's good. It's got me hooked, so.
Nice.
Yeah? Cool. Yeah. I don't know who James Spader is. I probably know his face. I just don't know the name. I don't put the name to your face, so. Yeah. Anyway.
Now, our next song that you'd like to bring is Jet Airliner by the Steve Miller Band.
Yes.
And why that song?
Steve Miller Band, when my record collection has recently started within the last 2 years. A buddy of mine sells records, and Steve Miller Band, I just got hooked on them immediately. I was trying to find the right song to pick for this. It was very hard to find the songs. This one's a good one because it's about, you know, moving forward and as well as, you know, taking risks and... it's hard to explain. The words are in my head, but the lyrics kind of say it. Like, the metaphor of, you know, he sees what he's got to do. Sometimes you got to burn a bridge. You might make it, you might not.
And you know all about bridges. You did that for your ego badge.
That's right.
And traveling New York and then Utah, Texas.
Yeah.
If you think about it, a bridge is like a metaphor for life, isn't it?
Yeah.
I built one.
You built one, you know what I mean?
And I almost died building one, too, when I was a water well driller, actually.
Well, tell us, give it to tell.
Yeah, sure. So along with doing the simple, you know, 6 to 8 inch water well.
He's doing that as if we're regular water drillers. Well, we know what he's talking about.
6 or 8 inch.
And we're on radio, and he's, like, doing that with his hands. So.
Basically, the tube, the straw, the steel tube that goes into the ground will be 6 to 8 inches, depending on the... I mean, it'll vary for the amount of water that the pump and facility will need. This was not a well, though. This was a bridge pylon, the center support that is supposed to be on bedrock.
Right. Yes.
What had happened was the...
The town where the Flintstones live?
Sure.
Bedrock. Right. Yeah. And is this in the river? So you're having to drill a hole underwater?
On the banks of like a creek.
Banks. Okay. Gotcha.
And so a lot of the ground in Alaska has permafrost in it. Yeah. So just frozen ice under.
Tundra.
Basically, yeah. So that's why a lot of roads in Alaska are very lumpy. This particular spot on the bridge, they were a little short on their measurements. So. While we were clearing out the pylon, they actually had to stop us and bring the steel. This was big 18-inch steel for this pylon. So they had to actually put it down deeper and dig out a hole for the so they could drop it lower. And then the EPA said we had to use a special foaming agent to build pressure to get all the debris out. They said they can run off into the river, even though it was EPA approved, this and that. Okay, so what's happening is we're clearing it out, and the big truck starts tipping over.
Oh, no.
And these big geysers shoot up of all of our foaming agent next to our truck, and it's just like, we're already up to our shins in foam around the truck, and it's just like, oh, man, we gotta go.
Gotta get out of here.
Yeah, and so my job was to break all these 4-inch air hoses, and you have to use a sledgehammer to break them. So I was going to, on the back of the truck, there's two platforms on either side. One side is the drill guy running the hydraulics, and the other side has my tools. I was walking to my side of the truck to get onto the platform, and I just drop.
Wow.
Like slipped, or?
No, I fall. I go under the surface of this foam.
Wow.
And I'm gone. Oh. I've disappeared.
Like as like in a kabloop? Foam party.
Like, yeah, like, okay,
like
so,
into a pool of foam.
Like a sinkhole.
Yes.
Oh.
Yeah, and between the two platforms is the drill steel going down into the pylon. Oh. We're already about 25 feet in, and we're working on, you know, going, we got to get to about 55, 60 feet.
Can I ask, sorry to interrupt you.
Go for it.
Did you feel like this is it?
Yeah. Yeah, right, I was right. In there, and I was panicking. I was freaking out, jumping, trying to, like, and all I could hear was the motors of the truck, and I was
I
calmed down, I sat there, and I was like, all right, well, if I freak out, I'll die quicker. And then I was like, well, you know what, this has been a good summer. If I do die, all right, you know. I was very nonchalant about it. Then I got this big adrenaline rush, and I jumped again, and I, like, pivoted and locked in, and the guy running the hydraulics tapped my head with his hand, and I was like, all right, okay, he's able to reach me. And so I fell down again, and I jumped as hard as I could, and he grabbed my arm, and he pulled me up, and as I had said, they had to drop everything two, three more feet down, so we had, like, a ring around us, a rim, and he pulled me up, and I was standing on top of that, like, all the way up on my feet, and he was, like, leaned over on my platform, like, his feet on his platform and his chest on mine, and he pulled me up to standing 3 feet above him.
And then you decided, this isn't for me.
Yeah, kind of. Well, you know, actually, not that the job wasn't for me. It was just like, that
dying.
Was basically it. Dying, kind of.
That's
yeah, we kind of joked about it the whole way back, and it made it a lot less terrifying, and I was like, I didn't have nightmares.
And then you went in the house and changed your pants.
I actually went and had to go rinse off in the river that still had ice on it.
Yeah, from foaming agent.
Yeah, yeah, I looked like the swamp thing coming
out. Oh. Well, we're glad you survived,
because
You're here, and that's great. So you're listening to the Engineering Hour, and well, you're listening to WGXE 90.7 FM Accra. Today's guest is Christian Griffin, an Alaska-born adventurer, traveler, former barber, and master coffee maker. Now, the next song, have we got a song coming up?
We do, and that's what got us going on this Steve Miller Band.
Shall we play it?
Jet Airliner.
Somebody's trying to make me stay. You know I've got to be moving on.
was just talking there. That was Steve Miller Band. What was the name of the song, Mike?
Jet Airliner.
Well, I always thought it was Jeff and Lionel.
Singing about his buddies, Jeff and Lionel.
And I always thought, you know, like people, you know, people say that they, you know, there were songs that they heard for years and they thought it was one lyric, but it was actually another. There was one was a police song. It was the song was called Message in a Bottle. And I always thought he said, a year has passed since I broke my nose. And it, obviously, it's a year has passed since I wrote my note.
This doesn't make sense. Message in a bottle? Why
yeah, why did he break his nose in this desert island? You know? So, anyway, so that was a great song you chose there, mate. So,
yeah,
cool.
You know, Steve Miller Band.
And it was a lot about, you know, as you were saying, moving on, making changes. Talked about bridges. But you started to mention while we were listening to the song, you know, you just told us this intense, terrifying, exhilarating thriller of a story about a near-death experience. And what are your plans in the future, possibly?
Yeah, I'm actually going back to Alaska for a few months, and I'm going to apply for the same job.
Sorry?
Yeah, you know, well, might as well. I've done it before, so.
Yeah, I've nearly died before. I think I'll do it again.
Well, it'll just teach me how not to die.
I can just, you know, foam all around the truck and like the slow motion. Wait a minute.
Been here before.
Here we go again.
Now moving on to the next item.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah.
Christian, the next item that you'd like to bring to your cabin in the Catskills is a knife.
Knife. You call that a pocket knife?
And
why are we speaking in an Australian accent all of a sudden?
Because it's more exciting than the Western New York version, right. Which is knife.
You got a knife? Oh, that's nice.
Yes.
What kind of knife?
Crocodile Dundee. You call that a knife?
Yeah. This is a knife.
This is a knife.
So what kind of knife are you taking?
Yeah, you know, just,
A sharp one.
A good sharp one. You know, being an Eagle Scout, you got to be, always got to be prepared. You got to be able to whittle a good, you know, hot dog cooking stick.
Nice.
Good for s'mores. Maybe if you got to make a spear.
Yes.
Or if you want to, I don't know, carve a nice walking stick to go on a good hike.
Now, do you like to use a jackknife, a fixed blade? What kind of knife are you talking
about? I prefer a fixed blade myself. Yeah. I just like the sturdiness and reliability of a fixed blade.
Yeah, I got a Gerber fixed blade knife a few years ago for backpacking, and it's perfect.
You've not even used it?
I carry it on my person while I'm hiking.
Being prepared.
And there have been a couple times where I cut some summer sausage and also
exactly.
A s'mores cooking stick. Yes. So
no, I'm not laughing at you. I'm just laughing at the fact that you're so intent not to blunt the blade.
It's gorgeous. It's like a work of art. I don't want to, and it has this awesome like serrated edge and.
Nice.
It's pretty great.
Did you have visions of like diving into a pool and catching a trout and like cutting
like
its head off and stuff like that?
No, I'm far too terrified of it to get, you know, put it anywhere near me. It's either in the holster or I'm like carefully using it. But I'm the type of guy, if I were to jump into a pond with a knife between my teeth, I would come out and it would be like in my leg. You're like, oh darn it! How did that? Oh man, that's gonna be a problem. I have to get carried out of here.
you mentioned Bear Grylls there. Do you watch these Survivor programs?
You know, every once in a while, I will indulge. I like those survival shows. It's interesting. It's fun to learn little survival tricks.
Do you know Cody Lundin?
I don't.
Dual Survival.
Oh, you know, I've heard, you've told me to watch that show, actually, I believe.
You know, you think that people who listen to this would think that I'm like Cody Lundin's personal sponsor or something like that. I just like the guy.
No, he's awesome.
Yeah.
I can say I've never seen it. Would totally watch it, though.
Mm-hmm. Well, don't watch it anymore because he's not on the show anymore.
Neither are the originals.
No.
There's a guy called Joe Teddy, and my opinion is the show's went downhill since Cody Lundin left.
I liked that Survivor man, the guy who goes out with just, you know.
Bear Grylls?
Not Bear Grylls.
Les Stroud.
Les Stroud, yeah.
Oh, I love Les Stroud.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's lovely.
He's got
great
some
guy.
Cool tricks, yeah.
That didn't sound real lovely.
Well,
you know,
hey,
no, yeah. I really admire the guy.
Yeah.
And he stopped doing those because they were taking such a toll on his body, right? Like, he would go on these wilderness excursions for TV, doing all the filming himself and living like a week out in the wilderness. And yeah. It was just
actually, there
much.
Was a, he took his son with him in a few, latterly. And it turns out his son got ill. I think his son had leukemia or something.
Oh, wow.
So if they're listening to this, I hope your son's getting better, Liz. So.
Yeah.
So you're taking a knife. That's fantastic.
Yeah,
Shall we move on now to the next song? It's a song called... Oh, what's the name of the song?
It was Overkill.
And who's singing this?
This version is by Colin Hay, originally Men at Work.
Ah, we come from a long down under.
Yes, a Scottish lead singer.
Yes,
I knew you.
The guy's from Scotland.
Yes.
Do you know where in Scotland?
No, I don't. I didn't do that deep of research, but...
He's actually from Kilwinning, which is North Ayrshire, which, from where I grew up, it's about 30 minutes in the car. So, from where I grew up. It's a small village, not far from the sea, and the Ayrshire coast. It's a nice little town. And that's where he's from. And he left there when he was, like, 14, with his family. His family emigrated to Australia, so he's been... He's been out there ever since. So, I mean, I'll be honest with you. The only when you tell me about the men, what do you call them? The Men at Work.
Yes.
The only song I know is that song, Down Under, and that song was a phenomenal song. It's such a successful song. The guys could probably live without working again for the rest of their lives based on that song.
The royalties for that song. Yeah, I mean, this was another one of their bigger songs. And
so why do you want to take this song with you?
This one is kind of similar to the Jet Airliner, but this one's like, you know, being a little nervous about things around you, new things around you, new risks, new adventures, and the song really touched me when I first heard this version of it.
And in what way, you know, did it touch you?
I felt I could really relate, you know, being afraid of things you don't know, being afraid of what you can create in your imagination with your future, of what is happening in your life, being able to move past it and continue on and just go.
And do.
And do it, yeah.
And you are that adventurous type, so yes, I can understand why you chose the song. Shall we listen to it?
Lovely.
Let's play it. This is Overkill by Colin Hay.
I can get to sleep. I think about the implications of diving in too deep. Possibly the complications, especially at night. I worry over situations I know will be alright. Perhaps it's just imagination. Day after day it reappears. Night after night my heartbeat shows the fear. Ghosts appear and fade away. Alone between the sheets only brings exasperation. It's time to walk the streets. Smell the desperation. At least there's pretty lights, though there's little variation. It nullifies the night from overkill. Day after day it reappears. Night after night my heartbeat shows the fear. Appear and fade away. Come back another day.
I can't get to sleep. I think about the implications of diving in too deep, and possibly the complications, especially at night. I worry over situations that I know it'd be alright. It's just overkill. Day after day it reappears. Night after night my heartbeat shows the fear. Ghosts appear and fade away. Ghosts appear.
That was Colin Hay, Overkill. Really, really nice version, mate. I liked that version compared to the Men at Work version.
Yeah, that one, I feel like you really, you can feel the emotion of that song.
Yeah, really, really yeah. Cool. And Mike, you were saying that sounds like George?
I thought so, yeah. George sang for us when he was on the show.
Yeah,
and I thought their voices were very, very similar.
Yeah, George is, for those listening, is the person who does the introduction music for the show. He's a fantastic songwriter, actually, in a band called White in London. And again, he's Scottish like me and Colin Hay.
Yeah.
And we all sound the same. We all sound fantastic.
Lousy, gorgeous, raspy voices with your fancy accents that everybody enjoys.
And you, when we were listening to that song, you were telling me you could do a Scottish accent.
It's trying, you know. It's hard to not to make it sound like it's just a fake one, you know. But you've got to try really hard to make sure you sound, you know, natural and not, you know, don't want to push it too hard.
That's no
really,
bad,
that's really impressive.
I've been trying, you know, I've been listening to this guy talk. See, and then it morphs into something else. That's where I lose it. That's where I lose it.
But when I actually, when people listen to me back home, they kind of hear my accent softening because I'm trying to sound, you know, legible when I'm on the radio. You know, in America, obviously, my accent's hard. So, you know, people in Scotland hear it, they say, "Your accent's changed a wee bit."
They call you a Yankee.
Aye. So, you know, swings and roundabouts. You're listening to WGXC 90.7 FM, Accra. Today's guest is Christian Griffin, an Alaska-born adventurer, traveller, former barber, and master coffee maker. Now, next object.
The next object is going to be a guitar.
Yeah.
Electric, bass, acoustic?
It would be a 6-string acoustic.
Ooh.
Yes. I play a little. I wouldn't say I am a guitar player, but I like to jam out from time to time. It's a good stress reliever. Actually, the previous song is one I've been trying to learn for a little while.
All right.
It's a little difficult because I'm a bass player. I'm more rhythm with my fingers instead of chords, so it's definitely a challenge to play.
I just can't learn. Mike, you play an instrument, don't you?
I did. I played the trombone growing up.
No, that's something you two have in common.
Yeah.
You two used played in the high school band.
Yeah, the brass. I was a jazz band.
Nice.
Yeah.
Jazz scared the daylights out of me. I need music that I can read and practice a lot. Otherwise, I'm just clueless. Some people have the ability. They know music. They can feel music. Some people have perfect pitch. So, you know, in their heads, they can hear a note, and then they know, well, that's an E flat or a C or whatever, and they can play it. I can't. And so jazz scared me. But jazz band, that's pretty sweet.
Yeah, that was a long time ago. I played several different music arrangements. I did, like, youth symphony.
Yeah.
I was in a steel drums band in high school. Our high school teacher just had a passion for steel drums, so he...
But like, kind of like Jamaican drums?
Like Jamaican, yeah. Tobagan, huh. Yeah. We had drums. We toured around the state and played for communities and other schools around the state.
Excellent.
So you did like an all-county or all-region orchestra, did you say?
Like a youth symphony, yeah, oh, basically, okay. Yeah.
You'd like fly to one school and...
No, we just played for our town. We played in one of the performing halls in our town.
Right.
I went to a smaller school, and the kids that I played with were okay, you know, in my high school band. But then we would have All County, where you would go and do an audition, and they would choose the best kids from the county. So, you know, over a dozen schools. And that used to be the most nerve-wracking experience, auditioning, because you'd go to a school, having practiced this solo for months, and you'd go into a classroom with some judge by yourselves, and you'd have to perform a solo, perform scales, he'd give you sight reading, and they would judge you, and you'd get a score, and then...
So it's kind of like American Idol?
It is.
I had similar. We call it Allstate.
Yes.
I choked.
Exactly. Yes.
I choked.
It is. Isn't it hard?
Yeah.
It is a terrifying...
I mean, just exactly, the terror you feel.
I did area Allstate, and I choked.
Wait. You choked doing that, but you didn't choke under the foam.
No, you don't breathe that. You know, I don't want pneumonia.
No, I don't mean physically choked. I mean, but it's funny how we choke at things that
I wasn't under the pressure of somebody else's eyes. I was...
Well, you were under the foam.
Yeah, I was under the foam. I was under the lightweight pressure of foam.
So you choked, but...
I just didn't practice very well.
Right.
Yeah. I knew the song, but I just kind of, my nerves got the best of me.
And, what instrument were you playing?
I was playing the double bass.
Double bass. Okay.
Yes.
Wow. Yeah. And that's, but you know, at the time it was so terrifying, but I haven't done anything as scary since. And I've done a lot of performing. And
were you successful?
Yeah. Yeah. Reasonably successful.
Did you get into
All County? I choked at area Allstate, and I didn't audition after that one time. It was just a lot of work and a lot of pressure, and I had enough going on. But it was excellent because, and I think you guys would agree, even though it was hard, it made me tougher. It made me better. And since then, any time I perform, I might be nervous, but it doesn't compare to that. So I'm like, oh, well, at least I'm not in some classroom with some guy who's like, wow, you mildly suck at life, and you're awful at this.
Who taught you that? Your teacher should be shot.
I worked so hard, I didn't even get to watch the Super Bowl.
And it was like, there's like two doors, you know? It's like, one is like, you know, you progress to the county.
Right,
the other one's like, waterboarding.
You get the yellow four. You get to move on.
Oh, dear. The joys of life.
Yeah.
Shall we move on?
Yep. Next object.
The next object is what? Pens. A pencil and paper.
Yeah, pencil and paper. I like to doodle. I like to draw. I also like to write a little. And, just dabble. Just the artistic creation, I guess. You know, I can make a game or something. Oh, these two objects were to entertain myself. That was when I was making my notes of it was, I can really entertain myself with a pencil and paper pretty easily. I can stay pretty occupied with some paper and a pencil.
See, you know, for me, if I've got a pencil and a paper and I'm in the wilderness, I'm going to, like, play myself at X and O's because I can't draw. But I'm going to make lists, you know, rent, groceries and stuff. I just can't draw, you know. So
I draw while making lists.
My brother's a good drawer. He's very good at art, but I'm not that type of guy. So pencil and paper is very, very important to you, yeah?
Yeah, definitely, yeah.
Right.
Okay. Did you take a lot of art in high school?
Not really. I took a little bit of art. My music was a lot of my elective classes.
Yeah.
So I did take art for 2 years. Yeah, mm-hmm. I enjoyed it. I didn't really do much until the last few years. I picked up a little bit of painting a little bit. I say a little bit. I dabble. I've just, played around. I don't want to say I'm a painter. I don't want to say I'm a cartoonist, but, little hobbies. There we go. That's the word. Hobbies.
Nice.
Talking of hobbies, I've taken up a hobby lately. I've started building model cars.
Yeah.
All right.
And I find it therapeutic. I don't do it every night or anything, but, I like to, the odd night, and I feel like I'm constructing something, and spray the car with the paint and all.
It's full throttle. You're doing paint and...
Yeah.
Okay.
So I'm really enjoying it, and I finished a car and I've got it in my office at work. You know, just sitting there and I look at it and go, I made that.
What kind of car is it?
It's a Plymouth something.
Plymouth.
Plymouth something.
Like an old Roadrunner.
Roadrunner. Okay. Yeah. And the one I'm making just now is a Shelby
GT.
Cool.
Or the Shelby Mustang. Like the GT 500 or the Mustang?
Shelby Mustang.
Okay.
Yeah.
Julia, my girlfriend, knows what it is, but
I don't know if I said that right. She's
going to kill me now.
Right?
For my lack of knowledge.
No, I'm saying things right now, and I'm like, you know what? That sounded kind of right, but I don't know.
Because I think when she was growing up, her neighbor introduced her to this car that he had, and it's the one I'm making just
like
now.
Like the one from Gone in 60 Seconds?
I don't know.
Or like the little coupe.
I don't know. Yeah, no. I'm feeling pressured here.
Right? What kind of car is it? Come on.
Good opportunity to move on.
I don't know.
Get out of there. Abort.
But yeah, the last song?
Yes, let's play the last song.
Our last song is Empire State of Mind, performed by Jay-Z featuring Alicia Keys. And why this song, Christian?
This song, you know, maybe a little more poppy than the other ones, but this song always gets me. Every time I hear this song, I think of, like, I've always wanted to live in New York, and I do have a goal to maybe get down to the city and work on a performing career. But it's a long, difficult road, and getting into that takes some time. And this song just really inspires and motivates me. And it's just a good song. I mean, when my brother and I drove back from San Antonio, Texas, as soon as we crossed the state line, we turned this song on.
Nice.
It's just New York. It's just got that draw. And, I mean, if you can make it in New York City, you can make it anywhere.
Yeah.
Apart from Glasgow.
If you can make it out of Glasgow, you can make it anywhere. No.
If you can survive in Glasgow. You can.
Shall we listen to it?
That's
a great song, I have to say.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm up at Brooklyn. Now I'm down in Tribeca, right next to the Narrow. But I'll be hood forever. I'm the new Sinatra. And since I made it here, I can make it anywhere. Yeah, they love me everywhere. I used to cop in Harlem. All of my Dominicanos right there up on Broadway. Pulled me back to that McDonald's. Took it to my stash spot, 560 State Street. Catch me in the kitchen like a Simmons whipping pastry. Cruising down A Street, off-white Lexus. Driving so slow, but BK is from Texas. Me, I'm up at Bed-Stuy, home of that boy Biggie. Now I live on Billboard, and I brought my boys with me. Say what up to Tata, still sipping my top, sitting courtside, Knicks and Nets give me high five. I be spiked out, I could trip a referee, tell by my attitude that I most definitely from. I made the Yankee hat more famous than a Yankee can. You should know I bleed blue, but I ain't a crypto. But I got a gang of walking with my click though. Welcome to the melting pot. Corners where we selling Africa been by the home of the hip-hop. Yellow cap, gypsy cap, dollar cap, holla back. For foreigners, it ain't fair. They act like they forgot how to act. 8 million stories out there in the naked. City is a pity, half of y'all won't make it. Me, I got a plug, special ed, I got it made. If Jesus paying LeBron, I'm paying Dwayne Wade. Three dice CeeLo, three card Marley. Labor Day parade, rest in peace, Bob Marley. Statue of Liberty, long live the World Trade. Long live the King, yo, I'm from the Empire State. That's blinding. Girls need blinders so they could step out of bounds quick. The sidelines is lined with casualties who sip the
life casually, then gradually become worse. Don't fight the apple, Eve. Caught up in the in crowd. Now you're in style. And in the winter gets cold, in vogue with your skin out. City of sin, it's a pity on a whim. Good girls going bad, the city's filled with them. Mommy took a bus trip, now she got a bust out. Everybody ride her, just like a bus route. Hail Mary to the city, you're a virgin. And Jesus can't save you, life starts when the church in. Came here for school, graduated to the highlight. Ball players, rap stars, addicted to the limelight. Empty in May, got you feeling like a champion. The city never sleeps, better slip you an ambient.
You're listening to WGXC ACRA, Catskill Cabin Conversations. That was Empire State of Mind, performed by Jay-Z and Alicia Keys. Today on the show, we have Christian Griffin, adventurer, Alaskan. Thank you for being on the show.
Thank you for having me.
We got to wrap it up. We just have one final question. How do you take your coffee?
If it's drip coffee, I drink it black. Maybe a little milk if I need to drink it faster. If it's an espresso beverage, my preferred is a cortado.
I don't know what any of that meant, but it sounded really good.
Now, cortado is espresso and steamed milk with the same one-to-one ratio, preferably two shots of espresso.
I just admired all that there. That was great. I love coffee, and I just enjoyed listening to that. See these people that say, oh, I love it with, you know, pumpkin and
oh, yes, the pumpkin spice.
Nah.
I like it.
I like to taste coffee. Yeah.
Good man. Christian, it's been great having you on the show. I hope you enjoyed being here. We really enjoyed listening to you. Thank you.
Yeah, I appreciate you guys having me. Thank you much.
Thank you.
My name is Christian Griffin. You've been listening to Catskill Cabin Conversations on WGXC 90.7 FM. Special thanks to George, Gordon, and Billy from the band White for the theme music. And to everybody at WGXC, thank you.